American orange growers have searched around the world for a solution to their devastating crop disease problem that they are facing, and they think that they have found one. But if the only cure and last chance to save the orange is genetic modification, would consumers still be interested in drinking the 100% natural juice that they're used to? Amy Harmon, a New York Times national correspondent, wrote an article on the situation headlined, "A Race to Save the Orange by Altering Its DNA," and I'm very pleased that it brings her to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
What is the disease that's affecting the oranges?
It's a bacterial disease. It's called citrus greening, and it is caused by a bacteria and spread by an insect that that feeds on the sap of citrus tree leaves. So it goes from one tree to another, and it sips from the sap, and it takes the bacteria out and injects it in the next one. And it came to Florida in 2005, and they've been trying to find a cure ever since. It's devastating crops around. It's not just Florida, but Florida is where we get almost all of our orange juice, so it's particularly threatening to that crop.
What does a diseased orange look like?
It is part green, lopsided, small, and most importantly, sour. It does not taste good. So trees that are infected with this disease can live for several years, but the crop that they produce is really not usable for eating or squeezing into juice, as happens with most of the oranges. And it has been detected in California as well, which is where we get most of the oranges that we eat whole. So it has not spread much there yet, but they're scared.
And so. The bacteria is called C. Liberibacter?
Liberibacter asiaticus, yes. It's a bacteria that was just detected about 100 years ago in China, and very little is known about it, and it's hard to fight it. There's no, in Florida they tried to first just remove infected trees so that they wouldn't be kind of like these typhoid Marys, spreading centers of disease that the insect could come and take the bacteria and spread it. And so they removed hundreds of thousands of trees, and they sprayed lots of pesticides that they hadn't needed to use before to try to control the insect. But this insect reproduces at like an astounding rate, like 800 new insects a month are born for each female, and it can fly for a mile without stopping. So, it's just very hard to kill off that whole population.
So this is another import from China?
Well, you could put it that way. It seems to have originated in China, but so is the orange. The orange was born in China about 4,000 years ago.
I'm sure someone assumed that there would be a naturally immune tree in China as a result, but they've searched for that and haven't found one?
Yes, they have searched the world for a naturally immune tree because that would be the ideal. So they could, they've searched their own about 500,000 acres of orange groves in Florida, and they haven't found yet a tree that has evolved a natural immunity that they could use to plant and kind of be a progenitor for the new crop of citrus trees. So that's where they end up with genetic engineering because
Aren't there a number of different varieties of oranges? They're all susceptible to this bacteria?
They are all susceptible to this bacteria. There's a quote in my story. Florida Citrus Commission actually commissioned itself a report from the National Academy of Sciences. They sent these sort of an elite group of scientists around the world and tried to research the disease and possible cures. And they, the head of that committee said, in all of citrus, there is no immunity to this disease. So that means every variety of orange, in grapefruit, mandarin oranges are also affected by it. They're susceptible to different degrees, but there is no immunity in all of citrus.
So that means limes and lemons as well.
Yes.
So are we talking about all of these things being evolutionarily doomed species?
Well, it depends. At some point, it could be next year or in 100 years or in 1,000 years, a naturally immune tree could emerge. Or we could do what they are doing, they're trying now, which is to borrow a bacteria-fighting gene from somewhere else in nature. Their leading contender happens to be spinach. but there are these genes in all sorts of organisms in the world, and sort of, you know, give the orange some help by putting in a new gene that will make it easier to fight off this disease.
Is spinach preferable to some of the other proposed solutions? A gene from a pig, which would make orange juice not drinkable for religious Jews and Muslims?
Well, you know, I don't know whether that's true. There was a gene from a pig that looked like it was doing well in experiments early on, and there was a lot of debate among the scientists and the people who were involved, saying, you know, well, this looks good. You know, they were so happy to find something that was making trees be resistant, but there was a lot of doubt about whether consumers, even if they didn't have religious protocols, would find it kind of creepy.
Well, go ahead.
You know, scientifically, I should just say, I mean, there is not the essence of a pig if not transferred into an orange when you transfer one gene out of the 30,000 genes that a pig has. And it's the same with spinach. I mean, this gene in spinach, what it does is it attacks invading bacteria. So that's what it would do in an orange, too. It's not going to, you know, as some people in my story I mentioned, some people asked the scientist, you know, is my orange juice going to be green? Will it taste like spinach? But that is not the case.
Well, the dilemma you pose in the article is that the orange juice industry prides itself on its 100% natural branding, and they are afraid that they could not make that claim if their products contained a gene from spinach or something else, or even a synthetic gene. Because in the past, they have had to battle against public perceptions of industry standards like frozen from what is it? Made from concentrate.
It's a concentrate, right? Exactly. Yeah, that's true. And I think even maybe the broader concern is that there is a general fear among some members of the public about GMOs in general. So, you know, they're not going to be able to hide that their trees have been genetically modified if that in fact happens. There's a debate, you know, in many states about whether any food that contains ingredients from genetically modified crops should be labeled. So, but whether or not there is a mandatory label, I think people would know that this is what's going on with orange juice. So the question is, you know, and scientifically, I should just say, I mean, there's really a universal scientific consensus that there's no intrinsic health risk to putting a gene from one species into another species. Now, each individual case has to be tested, and this would be tested. It would go through, you know, approval from the FDA, the EPA, the USDA. But the question that, you know, there's still this sort of lingering fear among the public, so that the question is whether that could be overcome.
Some of the people you talked to for your article were worried about the recent push to label GMO foods in stores. They're concerned about lumping all genetically altered products into what they called one stigmatized category.
Yes. I think that GMOs, you know, when they are discussed in kind of in the context of sustainable agriculture and our food system in general, are generally just sort of called GMOs. And what I hope to do with this story was to show a very specific circumstance in which this technology could be used. It's a technology. You know, it can be used by many different people or entities. It can be used by Monsanto, which is the developer of the most widely used crops that are genetically modified, or it can be used
and has become a symbol of evil in many people's minds.
Yes, it has, and so I think GMOs have sort of gotten that a little bit tarred with that image as well. But in this case, and they've also been, you know, some environmentalists will say that they think that one of the most widely used genetically modified crops has been responsible for just propping up a system that relies on the use of herbicides and pesticides. In this case, however, orange growers are spraying way more pesticides than they used to, and if they had a gene in there that the orange tree could fight off the bacteria without having to spray to control the insect, they would be using a lot less pesticides. So I guess, you know, part of what I'm hoping is that we would look at this technology on a case-by-case basis for how it can be used in different types of crops for different purposes.
My guest is Amy Harmon, who is a New York Times national correspondent. Her article headlined, "A Race to Save the Oranges," the orange by alternating its DNA was in the New York Times on the 27th of last month. Earlier this year, a freak patch of Monsanto-engineered wheat that was found in Oregon jeopardized all American exports of wheat. Japan even suspended U.S. wheat imports. Would genetically modified oranges similarly endanger American orange exports?
Well, we don't export so many oranges. We actually import a lot of oranges from Brazil. So for the juice that is not produced in Florida that goes into the juice that we buy in our stores is produced in Brazil, and they're looking at genetic modification as well, although they have more room. So one possibility is that, consumers or more, first before consumers, it's going to be the customers who buy the squeezed juice from the growers, like Minute Maid or Tropicana. But they all, we're too worried that nobody will buy it. We're not going to take this genetically modified fruit. And so they would go get it in Brazil, perhaps. But because Brazil has more room, and right now growers there, some of them are spraying a lot more than they're spraying in Florida even, and some of them are just abandoning infected groves and moving somewhere else because Florida has less space. But eventually Brazil would run out of space, and in the meantime Florida would lose about 76,000 jobs, and it's a $9 billion industry there.
You write that oranges are not the only type of produce threatened by incurable diseases, and that they all could benefit from genetic help. Aren't genetically modified things already available on the market?
Yeah, so well, we have been eating genetically modified. Almost all of the soybean crop and the corn crop in the United States is grown from seeds that are genetically modified. But the thing about that is that those ingredients, and I'm not talking about corn on the cob, actually very, very little corn on the cob that we eat sort of whole is made from genetically modified seeds. So the soybean and the corn and some, there's sugar beets, those things tend to be ingredients in processed food. So, that's corn that's made into corn syrup or cornmeal, or it's soy oil or there's cottonseed oil. Cotton is also a genetically modified crop, not always used for food. So the orange juice, I think, would be one of the first that is really something that you just buy off the shelf whole and you eat it, or if it's an orange, you eat it whole. So it's more obvious, and it will make us grapple more more immediately with how we feel about genetic modification.
Well, many people who are opposed to GMOs have environmental concerns. Would that not apply to what's being proposed for the oranges?
I think that the only environmental concern is this. There are a few, but one is a concern from organic farmers that their crops will be that there will be some crossbreeding that happens, that pollen will blow over or a seed will blow over from a genetically modified field.
Already happened, hasn't it, Amy?
Yes, that has happened. With alfalfa, it happened. Alfalfa is not something. It's not the alfalfa that humans eat, but it's fed to cows, and so there's genetically modified alfalfa crops that are hard because they pollinate easily. But in this case, oranges don't pollinate very much. They are, and the way that they're grown in Florida and every other commercial place is they're propagated by grafting. So you cut a piece of a little branch from your orange tree and grafted onto roots that are already there. So there's very little risk, I think, of pollination. There are a few organic orange growers, not too many. And the other fear is that it depends on the trait, the genetically modified trait that is in the crop. So some crops have been modified, like soybeans, to resist a weed killer that was originally developed by Monsanto. There's this fear that if they breed with a weed, then that weed will not be able to be killed by that weed killer. And so that's not an issue here because it has nothing to do with weediness or weed resistance.
How big is Southern Gardens, the company you profile in the article, a company that's decided to go with the spinach gene?
Southern Gardens is it owns one of, there may be 12 or 15 juice processing plants in Florida that process all the juice. So they are they own one of those, and they're a subsidiary of U.S. Sugar, which is, you know, which also produces grows a lot of sugar. It employs, I think, about 700 people at peak harvest, maybe 400 people on times when they're not harvesting.
Southern Gardens is expected to spend $20 million on the transgenic tree experiment. I'm assuming that's going to mean even higher prices than we're seeing right now for orange juice.
Well, I don't know. I mean, to the extent that that is passed on, there will probably be a royalty charged to growers that they sell the trees to. If the trees, and I should say, there are these trees currently exist only in a experimental field in Florida. So they're not, and actually they're just starting this month to be grown in a big greenhouse, so that if they do pass all of the regulatory tests that they will need to pass, and they need to be tested, that testing has already begun. They need to be tested on the pollen, will need to be tested on honeybees and rats and perhaps some other animals to make sure that it is safe. And the USDA will collect data that you're mentioning, that, you know, to see if there's any potential risk to other plants in the area. But if that all happens, the first real transgenic juice that could be produced would be 5 years from now.
Southern Gardens and other orange growers seem obsessed with that pure essence of orange. Are their fears warranted?
I think that early on, so my story, I tracked the development of this particular genetically modified crop over several years. And early on, there were growers who said, well, you know, we shouldn't be spending our money on that. And Southern Gardens went ahead, and other citrus growers were a little more hesitant about where they should put their pooled resources in terms of research to try to fight this disease. And they were saying, well, you know, consumers won't buy it. You know, it's you know. But I think that they've all, everyone that I talked to had pretty much come around to believing that this was the only long-term solution for the crop, at least as it looks now. They're still continuing to research other types of cures. The USDA has funded, I think it's a $9 million project to try to genetically modify the insect that I mentioned spreads this disease. So maybe they can make a sterile insect and release these sterile insects into the population, and they will overwhelm the current population, and there will be no more insects. And that could cure, that would be a different kind of genetic modification of an animal instead of a plant.
And at the end of your article, you hint that this type of DNA experimentation could lead to further modifications. Maybe we'll be able to grow oranges year-round.
Well, that's always been a dream of citrus growers. You know, they have to stop because it gets too cold, and so our juice gets stored in these big, huge containers to make sure that there's enough for the supply over the winter. But if they could make a cold, hardy orange by inserting a gene from somewhere else, perhaps,
Amy,
they would like that.
Thank you so much, Amy Harmon, New York Times national correspondent. The article, A Race to Save the Orange by Altering Its DNA, was in the July 27th New York Times.